All right. All right, let's open in prayer. Father God, thank you for all your mercy to us. Thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ into this world. And thank you, Lord, that for this opportunity to share food with people and to share your word with people. And we pray, Lord, that you would be glorified and that your Holy Spirit would be at work as we look to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the passage that we're going to be studying today is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest, because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. So sometimes we don't know what God's plan is. Sometimes, and even in the Bible or in our own lives, we might be trying to serve God, trying to do His will, but we don't know the big picture like He knows it. So I wanted to look at one example from the Book of Acts in the Apostle Peter's life. So Peter, at this time, this is in Acts chapter 9, and Peter had been ministering in a town called Lydda. So I'm going to pick up here in Acts 9:36. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter arose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and he raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. So here we see, first of all, that, I mean, when Peter was there at the other town at Lydda, he didn't know about this woman Tabitha, that she was gonna get sick and die, but God knew. And then so he was called over there because he was nearby. But then something even more happened. Even more, like, he did. God used Peter to raise this woman to do an amazing miracle, and Peter probably thought that was what he came to Joppa for. But God had even other plans beyond this, because while he was staying in that city in Joppa, and I won't read the whole next chapter to you, but while he was staying there in that city, God gave a man named Cornelius a vision, and God also gave Peter a vision. And God worked through these visions to bring them together. And Peter met with Cornelius and with those who were with him. And he preached the gospel to them. And they became the first converts to Christ among the Gentiles, among people that weren't from a Jewish background or a Samaritan background. Those were the only people they had ministered to before. But now through Peter, God was fulfilling his plan to bring the gospel to all the nations. So Peter was faithful to God in what he was doing, ministering to people. And, you know, he didn't know that this was going to happen with this connection with Cornelius. But God knew, and God had planned it all along, that he was going to use Peter in this way to bring the gospel, to begin bringing the gospel to the other nations. And I think it's kind of similar to what's going on in our passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Because we see here about how Paul's plans changed. Because Paul says, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. So Paul was preaching in this town or city called Troas. A door was open for him. That means that people were responding to his message there. That people were coming to faith in Christ there. So he was having a good success there. The ministry was going well. But even though the ministry was going well, Paul changed plans and went to Macedonia. And the reason why is because he didn't find Titus there. So why was he so concerned about finding Titus? Is because Titus was the one who was supposed to report to him, bring back and let him know how things were going in Corinth. You see, as we talked about before, and I know it's been a while since I've been here, Paul had such a love and concern for this church in Corinth that this letter is written to. And we see here that even that he cared so much for them that he altered his plans, the ministry that he was doing in other places, because he was concerned about finding out how the Corinthians were doing. We know in verse 4 earlier in the chapter, it talks about, he says, I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. So we know that Paul had a deep love and concern for these people who he wrote this letter to. And we're going to continue in verse 14. He says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. See, Paul's plans changed. He was gonna minister in one town. He ended up changing and going somewhere else. Paul's plans changed, but God's didn't. Just like with Peter, Paul knew that even though his plans were changing due to the circumstances, God was leading the procession. God was leading him into triumphal procession, even if he was gonna go to a different city than he was originally planning on going to. He says, But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. No matter what place he was in, God was carrying out his plan, and through him he was spreading the knowledge of Christ everywhere. And I love this imagery that talks about the knowledge of Christ being like a fragrance or a smell, an aroma. And it continues on in verses 15 and 16 as well. Verse 15, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death and to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? So When we proclaim the truth about Jesus Christ, when we proclaim what the Word of God says about Jesus Christ, we are being the aroma of Christ to God. So I want to be the aroma of Christ by talking to you about Jesus Christ. First, who was Jesus? Let's look at John chapter 1, the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then later, a little bit down in the passage, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see some about who Jesus was, that like it said earlier, it said that he's the Word, that the Word was with God and the Word was God, and yet the Word became flesh. So we know from that Jesus Christ was truly God, truly the creator of the universe. He was also truly human. He also took on human flesh. And we know, and we also want to proclaim, what did Christ accomplish? What did Christ accomplish in his mission on earth? And what did he accomplish for us? It says in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." So we know that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, that he was crucified for our sins, that he took the wrath of God, the anger of God against sin upon himself, so that we can be forgiven. Another thing that we want to proclaim about Christ is, is he the only way? Is Jesus the only way to God? And this is from the book of Acts. So this is again with Peter that we mentioned earlier. So this is after Peter, after God had used Peter and the Apostle John to heal a man in Acts chapter 4. Peter said, "Let it be known to all of you and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And that's the important truth that I want you to know about Jesus Christ. Like it says here, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And then the last thing I want to talk to tell you about Jesus in this part is what does he require of us? Okay, so we know that he is God and man. He died on the cross for our sins. He's the only way. He's the only name given by which we must be saved. And also, what does he require of us? So in Acts chapter 17, this is Paul in this part, and it's saying, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." So God commands all people everywhere to repent, and that applies to all of us. And that means repentance means that we have to realize that we're sinners and confess our sins to God and turn away from our sins and believe in Jesus Christ. And every time you hear about this, every time you hear these things, these true things from the Bible, every time you hear about Jesus Christ and the things he did, the miracles he did, the things he taught, and how he died on the cross for us, and how we're called to repent and believe in him. Every time you hear this message about Jesus Christ, God is doing something. God is doing something in your life. It's either a fragrance to you from death to death or from life to life. So that's the question for each of you, is which one is it for you? When you hear about Jesus Christ, do you love to hear about Jesus Christ? Do you love the Savior? Do you want to know more about Christ? Or do you not like hearing about it? Does it bother you to hear about it? Do you hate hearing about your sin and your need to repent? Or do you just not care? Because God is always doing something. God is always either drawing people to himself, or God is, like it says, a fragrance from death to death among those who will perish, among those who won't believe in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, "Who is sufficient for these things? That God would work through us, that God would work through him, and God's still working through us to accomplish his purpose. It should humble us who seek to share the word with people, because God is the one doing this work." And the last verse in our passage today is verse 17 says, "For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God and the sight of God, we speak in Christ." So I think this should be, looking at the Apostle Paul's ministry, should be an example to all of us who seek to preach the word. And it should be convicting to us that this is the way that our ministry should be. Like it says, he says, not like peddlers of God's word. So we're not trying to misuse the word of God, to mislead anybody about the word of God. We're not trying to trick anyone or show off how smart we are for knowing a lot of big words. But we are sent by God, and knowing that we're sent by God and knowing that we'll have to answer to God, we want to speak the truths of Christ. And when we do this, then that's when God is spreading the aroma of Christ, and we have the privilege to be a part of it. So thank you. That's what I want to share with you today, and I'll close it by praying one more time.